So it's Sunday night. Game 5 of the World Series is going on right now, and I'm sitting in here with Carol Fraser, and we're going to do our fundraiser farm update.
This is torture, Micah. I really want to be at home watching Game 5.
Lucky for you, we have a lot of guests on the show, so we can keep this one short. So let's start out with just a recap. What's been going on the farm lately?
Well, we are getting towards the end of the harvest season, which means harvesting a lot of the storage vegetables that we'll store through the fall and winter, and getting ready for what we call the fall baskets, which is a basket of root vegetables and some greens as well. And there's also planting of garlic for next year, because garlic is in the ground for a very, very long time. So I told you guys about garlic a bit this summer. And the story never really ends with garlic, I must say.
I was going to say, this is a saga that continues.
Yes, yeah, so I'm actually going to be writing a blog post all about garlic.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, I look forward to that.
When I get back into town, my job's going to end this week, actually. It's kind of sad. It's coming to an end. And so I'm going to write all about everything that goes into garlic, a lot of which I've talked about in the farm updates. But some of it is perhaps news to you. So that's been part of it. And then cleaning up the farm, cleaning up our workspaces. Tearing down, essentially. Like, we took out a lot of the irrigation lines that were in the field the other day.
And I assume you have to take all of these things in to shelter them during the winter?
That's the thing, yeah. So we have, like, different storage areas and keeping those organized so that in the spring, you know what's going on and you can reuse things effectively. That's a big part of the farm as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, getting ready for winter to come, basically. It's on all of our minds.
So winding down from the harvest season and preparing for hunkering down over the winter season.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So this is the fundraiser show, and high on my mind, of course, is community radio, since that's what we're here to support today. We're here to support it every day, but hopefully our listeners are also here to support it, especially today. So I was thinking about organic farming and that community, and I was wondering, apropos of media and radio, how do people in the organic farming world keep in contact with each other?
That's a really good question. I think in the same vein of community radio, that, you know, it's people who aren't necessarily thinking along with the school of fish, so to speak, of mainstream society, right? It's people who are trying to carve out their own way of thinking and their own way of doing and questioning what's going on around them. That's not to say that everybody thinks the same or whatever, but community radio is really a special place where a lot of different voices can be heard. And in the same vein, in organic farming, small-scale farming, in no way are two farms ever the same. But there is a lot of community, especially here in Quebec, that I've come to know. So how do farmers keep in touch? Well, a lot of it is through the internet. That I think that has been a major factor in the way that small-scale organic farming has grown and changed, maybe in the past 10, 15 years. So there's a few things. In Quebec, there's something called the RGME, which is the Réseau des Jeunes Maraîchers Écologiques, although they've changed the name now to Réseau des Jolies Maraîchères, Jeunes et Jolies Maraîchères Écologiques. And that is a mailing list, actually, like a email newsletter, but forum kind of, that a lot of people will write into and join. And they also have a conference that's going to be happening, happens every November, and this year it's going to happen November 22nd. And I'm actually really excited to go. It's going to be in Asbestos, Quebec, which is a place I honestly never thought I would go to. And that's a weekend long conference where a lot of the Jeunes and Jolies Maraîchères, the market gardeners of Quebec, come together, and they have workshops, they have panels, and it's a social event. So, like, I wouldn't say necessarily it's a tight-knit community. I think that there's always new people who come into it, and there are retiring farmers as well, but this community is very friendly and very open, and folks will share a lot of their ideas and information via the internet, via their own websites, via this mailing list. I think that's a major part of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense of how organic farmers would keep in touch, since this is a fairly, the community seems to be fairly spread out over a large province, I mean, specifically in Quebec, how they would have kept in touch before internet and before mailing lists, things
like
that?
Yeah, a big part of it, for sure, is various magazines that organic farmers subscribe to and write for a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And one of these is Canadian Organic Growers. That's a nonprofit organization based out of Ottawa. And that's kind of, they do actually some lobbying on behalf of organic farmers in Quebec. And they have a magazine as well that comes out, I think it's 4 times a year, but it may be more often. And so by writing articles and by subscribing to this newsletter, you're sort of kept in touch with the broader world. Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting because, yeah, on the one hand, there's this really current technology, the internet, and that's a big part of organic farming the way it is a big part of a lot of other maybe alternative movements. But at the same time, like, a lot of organic farming is pretty old school, back to the land. Like, literally, sure. You get a magazine delivered to your really rural farm, and maybe you would write an article or write a little letter to the editor or post an ad for your product. Like, I've seen a lot of ads in these magazines for specialized products for organic farmers or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting kind of alternative medium that I don't know if it's used a lot in other industries as much. Like, it's pretty integral, these kinds of magazines. Yeah.
Sort of reminds me, I was looking through a friend's father's library, and I stumbled upon the Whole Earth catalog.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, totally. I haven't really seen one in person, but
it's pretty cool.
It's a similar kind of thing, yeah.
I guess I found it on some long Wikipedia ramble once that this thing existed, and I'd always wanted to see it, and lo and behold, it was there on the shelf. And it sounds kind of similar, only Whole Earth, it's not just specifically organic farming, uh-huh. It's everything, you know, people who have certain skills, people who are producing things. Uh-huh. You can write to them through this catalog and receive whatever it is that they've produced.
Yeah, there's a lot of amazing magazines like that for all sorts of the niches of organic farming or sort of back to the land movements. Yeah,
it's an Amazon, basically, it's an Amazon.com pre-internet, right. Basically.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. I wonder how all of these sort of back to the land communities have been affected or, you know, enriched by access to each other through instantaneous communication like this.
I think the internet has really changed, I think for the better, how people communicate within organic farming. And I think it means that you have access to such a broader wealth of information. And if you have a question about something, you can post on this list and somebody might give their input as to how to grow beets better or whatever. So
sure.
It's cool.
That being said, do you think that there's any backlash? Do you think that as a kind of back to the land, simplifying life kind of movement, or at least that's how it might be held in the mainstream, there are people who tend to shy away from the use of technology?
Mm-hmm. But there's no, I don't think that there's any pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you're not on your computer after work, working in the fields, it's fine. You know,
right.
there are these other ways of communicating. And there's the in-person conferences, which are honestly a big part of the off-season and a big part of what a lot of the good organic farmers will do. There's actually a conference happening, like, every single weekend in November, and there was one almost every single weekend in October. And if I had the energy, I would have gone to all of them, you know. But and that's just in Quebec and Ontario and Maine alone.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the rest of the continent or the world. So there's a lot of different ways of communicating, for sure.
All right. So one last question. Do you think that farmers, organic farmers or farmers in general, should get more attention in the media?
I think it's an interesting question. I know that farmers in general, it's hard because it's a really broad field, agriculture, excuse my pun, but I think that there can be some kind of misinformation, or at least not, like, in-depth enough reporting or journalism about specific issues. Like, I could think about GMOs, for example. Really depends on the specific media source that you're getting your information from, how they're going to investigate, how they're going to ask questions, how they're going to frame the argument, who they're going to interview. Obviously, if you're interviewing somebody who's has a giant corn farm or a giant soy farm, they're going to be benefiting from this technology and they're going to think about it in a different way than someone who doesn't have the same kind of farm, have the same kind of economic issues. I think that maybe not that there needs to be more farmers in the media per se, although agriculture is a pretty important part of our society, but I think that the diversity of perspectives is really important, and I hope that this farm update has kind of brought that a little bit into the FM waves here in Montreal and it brought that kind of everyday person perspective into people's homes and people's cars. At the same time, I would want to say that a voice that I think is really missing from the mainstream media, but media in general, is the voice of migrant workers. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be really cool if CKT had that kind of programming. Like, I think my farm update thing was cool, but I think that we should go further and have even more of that kind of voice and like the really underrepresented.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, may it voices. Be, may that, it happen.
That would be really important. So CKT, I just want to give a big shout out to Funding Drive. I can't help it. It's a really important voice in independent media in Montreal and in the world. And I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to have my own voice be heard on the airwaves. And if you were into the farm update this summer, consider donating. The merch this year is super cool. The t-shirts are really nice.
Definitely.
And I have to say, I was actually last year's winner of the Music Lovers Prize Pack, which was all the gift certificates to various record stores. And that is an example of one thing that you can win if you donate to CKT. And it's a really awesome prize. So just think about the possibilities. You can get entered in the raffle just for supporting an awesome radio station that you probably listen to like at least once a week. So
thank you so much, Carol.
Thanks, Micah.
It's been really good to get your reflections on the farm update over the summer and ideas for future projects. Hopefully everything will come to fruition.
Thanks. Support CKT.